Hello and welcome to another episode of Sales and Pepper Interviews. Here's Dominik, your podcast host. And today I'm talking to Cassie Yusofi. She's a former VP of sales, now founder of a new startup. Hello and welcome, Cassie.
Hi, Dominik. Thank you for having me.
Cassie, we know each other from one of our last revenue leadership roundtables here in Berlin. We met, I knew you from LinkedIn beforehand, and I think you have a quite impressive history in the quite impressive career you've taken so far. So maybe for our audience who don't know you so far, can you tell us a little about yourself? Like, who are you? Who's Cassie? And what have you been doing so far in your career?
Oh gosh, where to start? I'm Cassie. I was born in Afghanistan. I grew up in the Netherlands. And funny enough, even though I have a law degree, I started my sales and startup career in the Philippines, where I worked for two startups and got my first foot in the door there. Learned everything there is about managing teams, scaling teams, and all of the headache that comes with that. Over there. Then I moved over back to Europe and I opened the US and LATAM market for a startup in Barcelona and moved on to Berlin, where I worked for two startups here, WorkMotion and Kenjo, as their VP of sales for the last 2.5 years or so. And then realized, hey, I've been doing this for such a long time. I know all the problems in the sales world. Let me have a crack at building a startup of my own. Building a solution for a problem that I've come across many times.
Yeah. And I think looking to your career, I think it is very impressive that you've been a VP of sales for very well-known startups so far in your young age. So maybe for those listeners that are listening in today, what would be your recommendation if someone is saying, hey, I want to become a VP of sales one day? What would you say, like, what should they focus on, especially maybe also looking to the current market conditions and the changes that we see in the current market?
I think no matter what the market is experiencing, no matter what's happening on the outside, doesn't matter so much as what's happening on the inside. It's all about how you feel about yourself, the value you place on your expertise, how well you know yourself, meaning your flaws, as well as the things that you're very, very good at, and monetizing that. A lot of times we don't go for jobs that we're very well qualified for because we don't think we could get them. And I think that's the first mistake a lot of women make, is that even though they're highly qualified, they skip roles because they think, oh, I'm not going to get it because it's asking for XYZ. And the reality is those jobs are just wish lists, right? They're never reality. It's what we would like to have, but we will accept anyone that's close enough because we know that we're kind of reaching for the stars with that list.
Yeah, I totally can relate to that. I can feel it also looking back to my times with Pleo as a manager. It's always a struggle, right, to find the right people. And I totally agree that normally a manager would always take someone who is close enough or where you believe that they can fill the role, even they might don't have the skills yet. And I think that's a really good tip you said here. Looking back to our roundtable where we met, Cassie, I was really happy to have you there. And there was back then we discussed a topic that probably everyone already heard one a few times. So we discussed about how we can leverage artificial intelligence in sales and how we can get better in what we're doing every day. And I think one of the key learnings we had so far, where I was really surprised, was that there was still people that didn't even look into the whole topic, right? That was really surprising to me. I thought everyone did so far, but there was still some people left that they didn't really check what they can do with AI. But there was something else. Maybe you can tell us about, like, what was your key learnings at the round table, and what was you thinking when you have been part of the whole conversation about AI there?
I think AI is an amazing, actually, topic, and especially with the latest advancements made in the field, make it possible for companies like me, for example, to come up very quickly and develop basically at the same rate as some companies that have been around for 10 years to do. purely because of the fact that we're only focused on one aspect of the job that we're trying to improve with the help of AI, rather than trying to solve many use cases and trying to cater to many different types of departments and industries. So that's for me been the most interesting thing that has come out of my experience working with AI. Then from your roundtable, I really got the impression that a lot of the conversations was surrounding ChatGPT, use of ChatGPT within, you know, outreach. And I can somewhat understand the hesitancy towards that, even if in the, you know, just in the last Chief Sales Officer conference organized by Gartner in March of last year, they made a prediction saying that by 2025, 75% of all B2B SaaS teams are going to be using AI-guided selling tools.
Yeah.
Or the fact, this is also another fact that I really, I love to mention this, is the fact that companies that are at the forefront of adopting AI are actually already seeing 1.5 times higher likelihood of return on investments than companies that are not using it. And then the question really becomes is, what type of AI are you really using? And how are you using it to better your revenue, to improve your processes, to reach a bigger audience, or to even just have the right messaging? And yes, ChatGPT can be handy there, but the way my company and my co-founder and I are using AI is very different. And I really think it's also part of the future way that we're going to be doing business.
Yeah. And when you're saying you're doing it very differently, for those of the listeners who just know ChatGPT, what exactly are you doing differently? What would you say?
So we kind of started out very broad. We started to analyze all the properties on our CRM. We're using HubSpot mainly. So we started to analyze all the properties that are being used by several types of companies. And there's a difference between default properties that HubSpot has available for all companies and that it automatically tracks. And then there's custom properties. And we started to assign it specific type of labels, as they call it in the AI world, such as influencing factors, winning factors, success factors. Then we took it a step further and we thought, hey, how do these properties relate to each other? How does one influence another? And we started to play around with different types of algorithms to figure out what combination of properties could have an impact on the sales metrics and on the revenue that the company is looking to bring in. And then the next step was for us to figure out where did we want to place our focus on. So we are looking now, for example, at activity. So with the help of AI, we are analyzing everything related to activity within a deal. So this could be, you know, number of emails sent, the mediums of communication sent, the cadence of events, even the order of each type of activity. Then we are looking at the engagement. So with the help of AI, we're able to do engagement tracking, which is looking at the sentiment of emails. So we are able to tell you without, especially as a manager, you will love this, we're able to tell you the sentiment of the communications between the prospect and your account executive. Is it positive, negative? Is it neutral? We're able to look at amount of times that a prospect asks questions within the emails, the speed at which they replied, the number of times that they have reached out to you. And we also give that a score. And lastly, we look at the deal owner's history. So this is something that I haven't seen any other company do, and that is taking into consideration whether the person that is assigned that deal is the right person to actually be closing that deal. Wow. So we look there at the history of this person. Have they closed a deal of this size, of this value in this industry before? And all of these things get a score, and combined, it makes a win rate and a deal ranking. So we rank the deals according to most likely to least likely to close. And we tell you what to do next to close these deals. So using prescriptive analytics, we're able to identify the best next step based on your own history. So it's not like we're inventing things. Of course, we're using my sales expertise and some of our advisor sales expertise who are like veterans in the field to follow the proper process that a B2B SaaS product goes through. But we're also using the best practices from your own data. What have you done to win your deals? and how did you do?
I think honestly, it sounds too good to be true. To be honest, I think it sounds really amazing to have kind of an assistant that tells you what to do next. I think one of the things that I've hearing very often, also like when the whole AI topic popping up, is the whole like, is the AI biased or not? And if you're saying like who would be the best seller to close the deal? Do you see any like case where one seller will get all the deals because he's the best closer, but what about the rest then? Like, is it possible? Is there a scenario where you see that there's like one person that is having the highest probability, but the person will get all the deals then?
That's a great question, and I'm happy we're addressing that so that there's no confusion on this. When we look at the deal owner's history, the recommendation is not to change the deal owner. It's more on allowing the sales manager to see where they need to provide support for this person to close a deal.
Yeah.
So, for example, if they have never closed in this industry, it might be helpful for that manager later on, because for now we're focusing on the account executive, but later on we will also provide the support on how to help their AEs to the managers as well, is by letting them know, hey, this person hasn't closed in this industry. So you may want to send him, I don't know, reading materials on it. You may want to have an extra session on what it takes to close in this industry. You may want to walk him through XYZ examples of deals that were closed in this industry and what type of questions comes out of them. I mean, we all know, right, in sales, industry specific sales is can be sometimes very like make or break for a deal.
Yeah.
Because a deal from a specific industry buying your specific product can have very different questions than another industry, right? And very different obstacles to overcome and different type of things that they need to resolve for. So that would be more the line of progression that we would take, and not necessarily to change the poor account executive, but more to provide a bit of a, you know, reality check. Like, hey, you haven't closed this deal value before, so you may be a bit over your head when it comes to negotiations.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I really love that topic because I think, and I totally agree with you, I think especially when you talk to salespeople, many times the whole AI discussion is about like conversational AI, right? So it's about how can we use it to get better text, or even if you look at solutions like Bao or Sentinels, for example, it's about how to use it in your outreach, how to use it in your sales outreach, how to provide a high relevant messaging for your target audience. But I think the biggest impact you can have with AI is actually when it's about data, right? When you have like big amount of data where a normal person doesn't have the brain capacity to understand what is happening, but the AI is really going deep inside it, analyzing it, and then providing guidance what to do next. I think that's something where you can have the biggest impact for your company, right? Where you really, really understand the data, where a normal person will struggle. I mean, I remember back in the time at Pleo, if you have 7 AEs and everyone having like 30 to 40 deals in their pipeline, how should you know where to focus on as a...
Exactly.
You only have one brain, right? So I think it's so important to have a guidance there. And I think that's why I really love to see all those new startups popping up and focusing on that kind of problems, because I think that's going to change our jobs tremendously in the future.
Yeah, I think especially with the changing tides in the last couple of years, right, with a lot of political stuff happening that impacted obviously sales and business a lot, we're going sort of back to basics, right? There's less focus on spending and relentless growth, right? And there's a lot more focus on how are we efficient with the budget that we have? Are we really talking to our ICP? And I think in those things that I can see conversational AI and, outreach, text generating AI to be like very much on the forefront, and I can understand the appeal, because naturally we want to automate the most boring things that we have on our table, which is coming up with messaging, testing it, trying it. but there's also a wealth of other data that's in your CRM that's currently just not being looked at because everybody's so focused on outreach that, there's some dashboards, there's some reports you look at, okay, revenue has gone up, activity has gone down or up. You know, you can see those numbers. What actionable insights can you really gain from them, right? What is the next step based on the data and the reports that you see?
Yeah.
And this is where we've seen in our research and our customer interviews, a lot of leaders even struggling with that. Not even necessarily because they don't know how, but more because it takes time, it takes energy, it takes a lot of focus to sit down and to analyze these reports, right? And then that's another point is that they analyze it, they gain these actionable insights, and then they have to distribute it to the team, find a way to enforce it to the team, check if they did it. And that's who has time for that, right? When you're pulled in 700 different meetings a week.
Yeah.
So what we try to do is kind of flip the switch, right? We analyze it for you. We tell you what to do next, and we give it to the people that have the power to execute it, to the account executives. We give it straight to their, to their hands to apply it. And then if they apply it or not, that's beyond our scope. But naturally, they apply it because it will help them grow their, hit their targets, achieve their quota, spend less time trying to figure out themselves what to do next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one topic that also is related to the whole CRM topic is always when I look back to the top sellers in my teams, they were most likely not the best people entering data into the CRMs. I think that was also something like not everyone, but there was like very, very, very good sellers that actually understand how to talk to customers, closing deals. But if you looked into the CRM, it was always a mess, right? So I think another part where I see AI helping us a lot is about the whole efficiency topic where you have like repetitive tasks, let's say like this, right? So for example, you are in your demo, you have like, we all know this transcribe AI, right? In meetings where you have like some AI within the meeting, taking notes, transcribing the whole conversation. And then that will be the next step, entering the data into the CRM, filling out all the different things in the CRM to help them get more efficient. Because in the end, what you want people to do is talking to customers, right? It's not about entering data, because if you talk with your client, that's where you actually create value, and not when you sit there half an hour entering all the data into your CRM.
Yeah.
So I think that's also a topic that is very, very relevant and also like very interesting to look at in the upcoming years. What's your take on that? Like, what would you say, like, which areas can we expect to become more efficient, and what other areas would you believe like are going to change for us in the future?
Yeah, I know some really great companies that are actively working on stuff like this, such as Converta, for example. They're also an Antler company, and they're also taking care of this aspect of the job. And I totally feel their pain. It sucks, right? Just recently, I found out in a state of sales report by Salesforce that AEs only spent 28% of their time selling. 72% of time is spent on, prioritizing research, admin, prospecting, and that takes time away.
Pipeline reviews.
Pipeline reviews. Hey, those are important. But it takes a lot of their energy and a huge chunk of their day, right? And so I totally feel their pain. So I think what is going to happen next is as we are gearing up to be more efficient, sales managers will, and I hope they will, sit down and figure out what is our ICP, right? Who do we sell best to? And not just focus on ideal ICP, right? Because this is also what I see a lot. People have an ideal ICP, and then you dig into the data and you find out you are very far from your ideal ICP. Your actual ICP is maybe less big of a company. Maybe the titles you talk to are not as high up. Maybe the values that you're looking to close are not really there. So I would maybe rather tell people, okay, be a bit more realistic, but still aim high, right? But still keep your feet close to the ground, because this is where AEs feel like life is unfair, because, oh, you're asking me to close this, but that's just not what's coming into my CRM. That's just not the leads that I'm getting assigned. So yeah, I can totally imagine that as we are gearing up more towards what we actually can close, the number of properties that we will be requiring the account executives to fill in will also be more focused and more narrowed, rather than here's 700 properties that I want you to fill in every time after a call, but rather to say, hey, I want to know this information, and in order to get this information, I need these properties. Rather than let's just fill in everything we can find, and then I will see what I can gain out of that.
Yeah,
I think that would be maybe a better approach towards lowering the amount of work that a poor AE has to do on top of their actual job, right? Which is the close, the talk, the connect. Yeah.
I think also what companies are doing wrong from time to time is just asking the AEs to enter the data, but not explaining why it's important to do it, right? I think that if you don't explain why this data is important, you feel like you're wasting your time with just useless amount of tasks, right? So I think that's also something, if you're asking for those kind of data points, make sure to show them where you're using the data, why it's important to use it. Because otherwise people will not understand.
No, absolutely. Always explain the why.
Yeah.
Sometimes explain it maybe a few more times than you normally think you would need to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
now we talked about what the future will bring, or what we believe the future will bring with the whole AI topic. But looking on today, right? Like, how are you using AI in your day-to-day work? Like, what are you doing so far with AI, and how do you leverage it for yourself?
I have to say there's some really cool tools out there that I've been looking at recently in drafting contracts. As a startup owner, for example, I've started to use this tool to help me figure out whether my text is the proper jargon and legalese. I started to look at a tool that looks at whether your pitch deck has all the right ingredients. Obviously ChatGPT, right, for the day-to-day small things that you just want to have a quick answer to. There's another tool that transcribes meetings and then turns them into LinkedIn posts. AI is really here to make our lives easier. We just have to find the right way of using it that fits your lifestyle, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm also using it on a day-to-day basis, right? I think for me, it's really helpful for brainstorming, like finding ideas and to sort out what you actually have in mind, right? I think sometimes I'm just writing down what's in my head and it doesn't really make sense, like if you write it down, but then the AI is like really helping it to get it in shape and to structure it a little bit more. So I think that's really, really helpful also in a day-to-day basis. So everyone who hasn't been using it so far, you should definitely take a look at get to know AI, because I think if you don't do it, you will definitely have struggles in the future because other people will do it, and then they will be a lot more efficient than you are.
Yeah, actually, I have like a pretty cool thing that I came across the other day, and that is if you have a question or something you would like an answer to, you can use a very smart prompt for ChatGPT, for example, that says, according to every known documentation, interview, and anything that's out there about words written or answered by this specific person, how would they have answered this question? And then you let ChatGPT find you an answer to a question from somebody that's super, I don't know, maybe like Sheryl Sandberg's or the Mark Zuckerberg, if you want them to answer a question. It will then scour the internet of all the interviews it has done and give you that answer. So it's basically like asking that person the question.
Yeah.
So I would recommend to try it out and let me know. Who did you choose? How did it go?
Yeah, it's funny because we have like a new podcast also for the other circus, which is called the Revenue Circus Podcast. And we have 10 different co-hosts there. They're actually all individual contributors, interviewing individual contributors. And one of the questions we always ask is, if there's one person you could switch roles with, who would it be and why? And I think that's super funny because it's basically it, right? You want to change roles with the one person and you want to understand how they are thinking.
Yeah.
You can just ask ChatGPT and you will get the right answers, exactly. Right?
Exactly. This is like maybe peak capitalism, but used in the proper ways.
Absolutely. Cassie, also looking to 2024, I think AI, of course, is one important topic, but what would you say, like in this year, what kind of topics are becoming more relevant? If you look at sales, how would you say, what should people do like exactly to become more successful in their sales roles if you look at 2024?
2024, I think, is the year that we are going to see a lot more of embracing of tech and additional tools in our tech stack to make life easier. So I think how you're going to be successful is by being open to it, right? If your manager is introducing a new tool, or if you're an account executive and you have an idea for a tool that could make your life easier, I would really ask the manager to be open to that and to say, hey, let me look into that. If that makes your life easier, why not try it for everyone? Because I think the only thing that could really stop sales from progressing is if we hold on to old ideas of how sales should be done. Even, for example, inputting data into the CRM. How long do we have CRMs in our tech stack, right? It's like the number one thing that a sales manager buys a license for when they start a job at a company that has nothing, is the CRM. And still there is this sort of resistance towards using it, because this is not the way sales should be done. This is not what I'm used to. And yeah. I think the quicker we let go of these sort of outdated mindsets, the quicker we can actually get to the data we need to make our lives easier in how we utilize data in our lives, how we utilize those CRM, those properties, and make sales fun again, right? Because we're so bogged down by all of these processes. We're so bogged down by all of this, you know, resistance and discussions. And, you know, I heard one company took months to discuss whether or not they would allow ChatGPT to be used in a business, right? Like, yeah, I can understand there's certain implications you have to take into consideration, but also just being open and wanting to try is what's going to help propel us forward into the future. I think there's a reason why in the US, for example, there's a lot more advancement and like features that are released by Outreach and Gong are released in the US first, because here in the EU, they have to go through so many different types of regulations, which obviously we have understanding for, right? GDPR is real and we have to respect that. But at the same time, we get a little bit late to the game with a lot of things.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I think also looking back to the last 10 years, I was always questioning like why we are so slow in Germany with all these things, right? Why is like every other country trying to be more like advanced than what they're doing, especially if you look at tech. But on the other hand, like what you like coming back to what you said, like I think when I'm talking to sales leaders at the moment, what I hear very often is actually the other way around, right? People or companies trying to reduce the amount of tool stacks because they just spent like thousands of euros for SaaS tools in the past, and now it's everything is about becoming more financially efficient as well. And that's, I think, also something. I mean, I agree with you that we should leverage these tools way more. But I think on the other hand, you have like finance teams and like founders sitting telling the people, please double check what tools you actually need and what you could like reduce on the tool stack side.
Yeah. No, I actually completely agree with that. And we've already saw that at the beginning of 2023 already, right? There was this selling to CFOs rather than CEOs mantra that was going around, right? Return on investment sheets, calculations, numbers. And That's very true, but I do think we're going to get out of that by second half of 2024.
I hope so too.
I mean, obviously, you know, you never know how the world develops. We don't know what could potentially still happen, but maybe probably not in terms of the number of tools that companies are using, but definitely the kind of tools that people are using is going to change.
Yeah.
This for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think also, I think what would be very interesting to see is, I think the last 1 or 2 years, we saw like this whole AI topic like growing. But I think now there's a point of time where companies really understand how to leverage this kind of technology. So I think 2024 and 2025 will be the years where we really see an impact on our daily doings, and not just ChatGPT as we discussed today. It will become way more efficient than we've been used to be, right?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. Now we're talking already half an hour, Cassie. Time flies, but I always have one last question to every guest on my podcast in the end, and which is asking for advice. So I would like to know, what is the one thing you would like to recommend to our guests, like to our audience, that really had an impact on your career that you would like to recommend to other people, what they should take a look at? It could be a book, a framework, some habits you're using. So what's the one thing that really had a huge impact on you and your career?
That's a very good question. I think it might just go back to the first thing we discussed, which is taking time to really getting to know yourself. For me, the biggest impact I felt in my life was when I started to journal. So I journal almost every other day or so, maybe daily even if I need it. And I think putting your thoughts on paper really helps you understand the way your subconscious mind works, because we operate out of these the things that aren't relevant to us today anymore, but that have had an impact and may have us operate as the people that we once were and not the person that we are today. So it helps to journal to figure out which version of me is making this decision, which version of me is reacting to this situation, and to realize how far you've come. So for me, journaling helped a lot to figure out who I am, how do I want to show up in this world. And once you figure that out, everything is easy, because if you know how you want to show up, you figure out what type of roles and jobs you want. You do the research in those roles and jobs. You figure out the requirements it needs to get there. And then it's all about, you know, upskilling yourself, right? There's so many opportunities online out there, books, audiobooks, podcasts. There's so much out there to get you to where you want to be in life. It's all about figuring out what you want. And that's kind of where I see a lot of people getting stuck, is because they chose something when they were young and they're not that person anymore. And now they don't know what they want. And the answers are never outside. The answers are always within you. You just have to learn to listen to it.
Yeah, I think I can relate to that. And I think also what helped me a lot is, sometimes you don't have all the answers yet, right? So it's like you know that something is off and that something is not feeling right, but you don't know where to go and what you should do next. So I think what helped me a lot in the past is also this exchange with other people and trying to understand their journeys and their struggles and what they have been going through to really understand, like, where am I actually standing right now and what are my options? So I think that's something you have no idea of the next step, but exchanging with other people and talking to them may open up new doors for you and new ideas that really help you get going.
No, absolutely. No, I very much agree. I've always met the right person on my journey. sounds very woo. But I've always met the right persons on my journey that helped me realize what my next steps were. But I didn't really know what direction that was until I did some deep work within myself. So, I can recommend.
Thanks for being on the show today, Cassie. It was really nice to talk to you, and I'm really excited to see your startup popping up. So really, we'll have a look from the sidelines and cheer you from the sidelines. We will see us probably at the next roundtable. I hope so, at least. And so far, thank you for being on the show, and talk to you soon, Cassie.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dominic. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Übrigens, dieser Podcast wurde dir präsentiert von SDRs of Germany, der Vertriebscommunity für den Dachmarkt. Wenn du auf der Suche bist, um dich mit anderen Vertrieblern auszutauschen und deine Karriere im Turbo vorantreiben möchtest, dann werde Teil unserer coolen Community. Alle Infos unter www.sdrsofgermany.com.